Well, welcome to the relaunch of Life Matters Podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. Glad to have you with me. And I've done radio for 22 years now. So this is a very, very interesting outing for me, an audio outing. Let me just clear the boards here right out of the gate. All right. This makes no logical sense for me to be doing this podcast again. In many ways, how it's been for me over the last 5 years for sure. And it is like this for a lot of people in the media. I'll get to the media stuff in just a little bit. But the media is a very tenuous place. Ask anybody who's been around long enough, unless you have a really good agent and an ironclad contract, when you're not working, we call it on the beach. So if you ever run into somebody who's been on the radio or television in some way, shape, or form, production, and they say, I've been on the beach, it doesn't mean they're on vacation because they want it. It means because they haven't been able to find work. So very interesting, tenuous, difficult, challenging field, the media, not for the faint of heart. The fact that I was able to do it and still do it, apparently, for 22 years is mind-bending and mind-boggling to me. So first, a few housekeeping things. Number one, I have to say thanks to all of you who are plunking down $20 a month, $5 a week to listen to me rant, rave, observe, pontificate, bloviate, and sometimes verbally defecate, I think. And I appreciate that. I'm not exactly sure why you're doing this. I guess, you know, you may have read one of my books, Living an Uncommon Life, that came out 10 years ago, or Every Moment Matters, that came out in 2010. And then I've written a couple books based on the blogs that I've done. And I've done the Wednesday rant on Facebook for 5 years. And so I guess there's a whole group of people that know me from that. The radio thing speaks for itself. I started in 1997 in a little tiny CBS radio affiliate, 5,000 watts. At 6 o'clock at night, the squirrels went home and the power ramped down. And the next morning, the squirrels came back to work and you were able to blow out 5,000 watts and people were able to hear you across the lake sometimes and even down the street. Imagine that. It was a very Mayberry type existence at the time, but I think that's what I needed to kind of cultivate where I was going. And to look back on where I've been in all this is I just got an email from a guy who I gave a talk last year, a commencement address to a business group. And oftentimes, I just recount my experiences. I'm not here to be a life coach. I may do a whole episode on what the hell is, how do you become a certified life coach when you're 24? Anyway, that'll be for another episode down the line. And I was doing this commencement address, and I was talking about my experiences and my journey and my path and the things that I've learned along the way. And I just got an email from this young guy today about him starting a business based on his background in college and what he wanted to do with his life. And he created a product, and he was relating to some of his interns. He feels like he's a big deal because he's got some interns, and that's very cool. My journey and you know, that he took a lot out of that. Now, we have very different journeys for sure, all of us, but there are some common things that make us all the same. And when those bells are dinged, you know, then you get it. So this is a strange trip for me to some degree. As I mentioned, you know, I don't know that I was talked into this, but I was nudged into this. There's a few people, I have to mention, especially Dan Mason, who was the president of CBS for so many years. And he's the guy that actually got me into podcasting back in 2015 with the first iteration of Life Matters on CBS Play.it, and I did 35 episodes there. I was reluctant. I still am, quite frankly. Of course, I also didn't think satellite radio would work either, so what do I know? But I wanted to thank Dan for doing that, and there's a few other people who sent me notes, and they said, listen, we know that the media is crowded. We know that you're frustrated, and we'd like to hear what you have to say, and we'll pay you to do it. Okay, so let's see where this all goes. So once again, thanks for all that. The format of this show is wide open. I've been putting a lot of thought into it, which I usually don't, meaning I don't know how long this is going to last. I am thrilled that there are 50 people listening, or you said you'd listen. You're going to subscribe, and then you paid your $20, then some sort of magical thing happens on the Podbean website, then you can hear this on your phone or your laptop or your, I don't know if anybody has a personal computer anymore left, but all these devices, your iPhone, iPad, iPatch, whatever. I've been really thinking about the content of this this Life Matters thing. And the reason I call it Life Matters is because I can talk basically about anything. It all fits under that title. And that's exactly how this is going to roll out. Usually it's top of mind stuff for me. When I was doing 3 hours a day, four or five days a week on WGN in Chicago, I had to have a much more rigid production schedule, call sheets and what we're going to do. It's a whole different deal. But this here is basically free form. I can say anything I want. I could repeat myself for a half hour. I won't, but I could. And so there's no restrictions on that stuff, whereas before I really couldn't say the word shit on the air. Oh, I just said it. And that's the second disclaimer. Being from Chicago, we use the word shit like most people use the word hello. And so we spread the shit liberally sometimes. I mean, no offense. I'm basically saying, I got you. I got your back. I understand. And there's so many words. Listen, when you grew up in this city, there are so many meanings for the word shit. My dad used to say, you know, the only difference between shit and spaghetti is who cooks it. So that's kind of one meaning over here. And when you walk your animal, your dog especially, you got to clean up their shit. And you don't want to step in shit. You know, when the shit hits the fan, right? And you want to be behind the fan when the shit hits the fan. And this shit's getting deep and I can't take this shit anymore. And I remember being called shit for brains a couple times on the football field. So I mean no offense, but this is my podcast and my show. I get a chance to just, I couldn't say shit on WGN. There's a great story. How can I tell this without making a bigger deal about it? I was on Oprah Radio producing, and one of my hosts was interviewing a movie reviewer. I'm going to keep this all very generic, so I don't want to get any phone calls from Oprah about this. One of my hosts had a guest who was a movie reviewer. I don't know that they still are. And we were reviewing Steven Spielberg movies, or she was, and I was behind the scenes producing all this stuff, and we got a bunch of clips we paid for to run the clips when the movie reviewer could throw to, to speak about it. So we paid, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 for a bunch of clips. And they were all 20, 30 seconds long, not very long. And we were going through Spielberg movies. And I don't recall all the movies except one in particular, which just happens to be my favorite movie of all time, which is... Yeah, Jaws, okay? 1975. We get the clip. We put the clip in. I think we put it in after, so, you know, you'll talk about things and I'll say in the host here, we insert clip here, and then they'll hold 10 seconds of dead air, and then we'll just insert the clip afterwards because these were all taped shows. I believe this one was taped. So either way, the clip gets inserted and it's Roy Scheider, one of the best scenes in the whole movie. Roy Scheider's on the back of the orca and he's got to go chum the waters, right? And Quint's sitting there and Hooper's in there. Hooper drives the boat, Chief. I could do a whole show on Jaws. I could do every part and every voice. Might still happen. So anyway, Brody's on the back and he's getting ready to walk to the back of the boat to start throwing more chum in the water. And before he says the greatest line in movie history, "You're going to need a bigger boat." Before that happens, he gets ready to throw some chum in. He goes, "I can steer the boat. Why don't you come down and chum some of this shit?" And he throws the chum into the water and the shark heads come up and everybody in 1975 got the shit scared out of them. So that aired, 20, 30 times. No problem, no big deal. And later that summer, so this is 10 years ago now, but later that summer, one of the higher-ups at Oprah Radio came into my office and said that your host said shit on the air. And I, what? Yeah, your host said shit on the air. And I believe I responded with saying, this certain host doesn't really even know what the word shit is. So I highly doubt that. And we went back and forth and come to find out it was this clip that we had licensed. And then Roy Scheider said it. Roy Scheider was dead at that point. The movie's 40 years old. We had no complaints from anybody. And, you know, on another channel, Howard Stern is saying shit. I couldn't. Are you kidding me? So we're all in the same kind of boat. And they were all worried because the word shit got across the air on Oprah Radio. So there's another use of the word shit. And I'm not going to even get into the how that all played itself out afterwards because I signed a non-disclosure. So I can't talk about that part. Anyway, So you're going to hear the word shit a few times, and shirt, apparently. I don't have any notes in front of me. I am winging this left and right, and on one hand, totally thrilled to be sitting here in my studio, which is actually my office, which is also my lunchroom, and I also take a nap in here sometimes. And it's maybe not the perfect studio sound-wise. Every now and again, I actually close the door. You would have heard the neighbors some two doors down cutting the grass, and there's birds outside. That's all well and good, but I'm trying to keep some professional decorum when doing this podcast. So the doors are closed. I got a fan on. It's nice in here. It's about 65 degrees outside. Beautiful day. But I had to talk myself into getting behind the microphone to do this today, and I'll tell you why. When you've done 20-plus years of radio, and I've done literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of shows, and those shows, for the most part, were interview shows, and everybody you can imagine. I mean, the list is a who's who of who, and a lot of people you've never heard of before, and they all had something very important to say. But when you've asked questions for two decades plus, after a while, I'm thinking, what else is there possibly to say? What else could I ask? Who could I talk to that would bring some value to the table? I started thinking a little bit earlier today about Wayne Dyer, who passed away a couple years ago. Wayne was a great guy, great friend of mine. And matter of fact, when I was working to make the decision about going to Oprah Radio, he called me from Hawaii. You know, I got to tell you real quick. So if you ever call Wayne Dyer, which you can't now, and if he answers, you might want to, that's some other show. But when you would ever call his phone, and if he wasn't there, you get a voicemail. And the voicemail was roughly something like, "Hi, this is Dr. Wayne Dyer. If you called to complain, you've reached the wrong doctor. You're looking for Dr. Phil." And then he'd laugh. And that concept is what's been brewing in my head most of the day, is how much we complain about things that we really can't do anything about. And it becomes part and parcel of our life experience, which I believe, my experience, observation, and opinion is that it diminishes our lives. And I don't think we're here to be diminished all the time. And that's on us. And there are ways around all that. So I was thinking about Wayne this morning. I'm thinking, I want to do this. I got to get this thing up on the air. We got to get moving, you know. And there is no other we. It's John. There's no production here. There's no producers. It's me. So I got to talk me into being the producer, the host, the interviewer, all these things. And in some ways, it's not very different than how it was when I started way back in 1997. Probably about the same amount of people listening. I had a microphone, and here you go. So on some respects, it's not a whole lot different. In some ways, the journey to get back to where I started from has been very, very interesting. But Wayne used to say, I think one of my favorite quotes that he talked about was something about karma. And especially these days, when social media has become unsocial media, there is no hiding place. There's no safe place unless you turn all your electric life support off, which is the ELS, you know, your phone mostly or whatever. Now, don't turn it off while you're listening to me. But my point is, because we're so adaptable creatures with technology, we have to literally, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally break away from stuff that does us harm, in my opinion, that we can't even see. And I'll talk about that as we go along here. But Wayne would say something that I think is so relevant today. The way people treat you is their karma, and the way you respond is yours. The gimme in this, besides the obvious, which means, you know, you can't control how people are going to act. You can only control how you act. Not always easy to do, because we are reactionary creatures, especially these days. But the operative word in all that is how you respond is your karma. We've forgotten the difference between responding and reacting. So as we spend more and more time on unsocial media, and we get these downloads constantly of information we can't do anything about, sorry, nothing you can do about except get pissed off or pissed on. That's just the bottom line. And so I'm just going to use my electronic life support, my only notes I have here, as just a reference point, and then another reference point. Maybe that'll help us get to where we need to go. This is from Google. These are the Google headlines today. A predictable bloodbath in Gaza. Asteroid size of the Statue of Liberty is going to buzz by the Earth today. Thomas Wolfe, Tom Wolfe, best-selling author and a genre-breaking journalist, dies. Pennsylvania primaries could herald shift of power in the U.S. House. Top Intel officials say that Chinese ZTE cell phones are a security risk. Are the Warriors better than the Rockets? Robinson Cano suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball for PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. The lava flow from Hawaii volcano could last for weeks. A Trump supporter attacked at a cheesecake factory over his hat. Meghan Markle's father says he's changed his mind and he will walk her down the aisle, and the whole world rejoiced. Now, I don't know if you're going to hear this before that royal wedding, and it really doesn't matter. And here's why. I get to use the shit word again, folks. Same shit, different day. Here's the deal. Because of all this information that keeps coming to us, you know, you turn on... I get it. I've been in the media all these years. You know, the information we need to talk about. But you ever notice there's really nothing changes around the things we talk about? We're not in a position to create that change outwardly. So Life Matters really is about what kind of changes do we make inside ourselves so the stuff outside doesn't always kick our ass. To me, that's how you enhance your life. And so you can understand a little bit why I've turned down, four or five contracts in my career that just wanted me to talk about politics. Are you kidding me? I could have made a shitload of money getting people to argue over stuff they can't do anything about. There's a whole system in place. And the only reason it's in place that way is to feed the trough so people come to it and they make money from advertising. I mean, you must know this, right? So when you're turning on MSNBC, you're going to get one thing at that trough. When you turn on Fox News, you're going to get one thing at that trough. And when you go to CNN, you're going to get something at this trough. And those troughs are set up so cattle like us come to the trough and feed and get reinforced in what we believe to be true. And then depending on the numbers is how they pay for the feedlot. All right. That's just the way the media is set up. So I could have gone into politics and just, you know, listen, I could turn it on and turn it off. I would. I can't. I've seen too much, I've heard too much, I've been around too much, not just in the media, but in life in general, that I just can't imagine spending any amount of time that I have, not guaranteed to be here tomorrow, by the way, in arguing over stuff. I mean, really, most psychologists say that the way we see the world is basically put in place, for better or for worse, by the time we're 10 at the latest. Maybe 8, but for sure 10 years old. So in just 360 months of your life, how you see the world, what's important, what isn't, it's basically locked in. We have variables, of course. You know, people change their minds and change careers, and every now and again, somebody actually makes a change of heart. But for the most part, it's locked in, and there's a rudder that's put in place, and that rudder steers us the rest of our lives. And we find out all this stuff coming into our life, and we're not sure why, because we don't have any conscious memory of how this got downloaded in the first place. And then we spend our life trying to navigate these waters. And so much of what we do is major and minor things. Life is a major league sport, and we're playing it at such a low level. The ego that's involved in chewing on all this stuff is a whole other show. I'll get to that at some point. But you realize... let me put it this way. The ego's like a great white shark. All it might as well go back to Jaws, right? The ego is like a great white shark. And all it does is eat and swim and make more ego. That's all it does. And the only thing it feeds on is chaos and pain and division and separation and all the things that make us different from each other. That's not what this show's about. You can get that anywhere. But I'm not going to do it here. It occurred to me as I was prepping for the show, which meant I was vacuuming earlier. It's the zen of vacuuming. I have to keep my body busy doing stuff, washing the car, cutting the grass, something, so my mind doesn't get locked down. And it doesn't. I'm like in constant motion to do this stuff, so I can kind of get out of the way and let whatever needs to come through, come through. And whether you know it or not, the 50 people listening, not 50,000, not 50 million, 50, not even 500, but 50. All of you have one thing in common, which is listening to the show, but then there's many more things in common. For whatever reason, my work has attracted you to this broadcast, so that's a good thing. But you've all voted different. You're not all the same politically or religiously or for sure demographically or even financially. All these different backgrounds, all these different things that separate us, those are the dividing factors in life, but they are not what make us adversaries. And yet that's how the world sets it up. So I know there are people listening to this that voted for the current president. I know there are people listening who did not. I know there are people listening here who served time in the military. I know that there are people listening who did not. I know there are people who are devout Christians, and I know that there are people listening that are not. And so whatever the reason you're listening for, I don't know that. But what I do know is that if we put the differences aside, and if we put the stuff that should be in file drawers away, and we put all the preconceived notions of who we think we are as opposed to who we really are, which it takes internal excavation, amazing things can happen. All of a sudden, life becomes the promise it was meant to be. I don't care what's happened. That is not relevant. It is not relevant what's... Listen, I get to do one quote from a famous guy, and then I get to do my own quote. So the famous guy quote from Mark Twain is, there are the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. Wish I would have said that. My version of that is, how you were born is not nearly as important as why. And so everyone listening to this, myself included, we all came into the world in a very different way, basically the same delivery system, but with different circumstances when we got here. Those are not relevant. Those are part of the rudder. And what is relevant is, how do we find ourselves in the midst of all this chaos still? Because it's got to be more than this. And I don't mean more financially or more materially, but how do we find ourselves in the middle of all this chaos? And that's really what this show is about. Every conversation I've ever had with anybody, on and off the air for the most part, is about that question. How do we keep the promise of being here? And so over the next few episodes, I got a couple things I want to do. I have so many shows in the can, as we call it. They're on cassette tapes, they're on DVDs, they're on CDs. I'm going to be spending a little time in the production booth here, the Crack Aurora Media production booth, which is basically the same desk. And I'm going to be culling some of those conversations from a long time ago. And I'm going to insert them into where we, you know, you're going to be hearing things that you haven't heard. I haven't heard some of this stuff for decades. In particular, I was thinking about Margot Kidder passed away yesterday. She, of course, was Lois Lane in Superman. And I had Christopher Reeve on my first show way back in 2000. I don't even remember what year it was. He was already coming towards the end of his life. I think he probably passed within the next 6-8 months, a year, somewhere in there. And he was doing Larry King the night before. That didn't sound right. He was on Larry King the night before. He was scheduled for my show the next day. And he was up quite late, and I got a call. My producer, Anne Marie, got a phone call, actually, from his aide and said, you know, he's really tired. He's in the wheelchair at that point. Superman in a wheelchair. Wow. He can only do about 10 minutes. And I said, listen, happy to do it. And he got on, and before we went on the air, I said, listen, Mr. Reeve, he goes, Christopher, please, or Chris, okay. I said, listen, I only have 10 minutes. He goes, screw that. I'm running out of time. I'll talk as long as I want. So guess what? On the heels of Superman, screw that. I'm going to talk and say whatever I want. And that was his message to people listening. I'll have to find that audio. He said, it shouldn't have to take being in a wheelchair to speak your mind. You shouldn't have to have life circumstances come down so hard on you that you realize what's important. He said, you know, in Hollywood, you want to make nice and please everybody so you get work. And he said, once you get hurt, nobody cares about Superman like they used to. In the words of Mark Twain, it's the two most important days of the day you arrived on the planet, the day you figure out why. Life matters, this show, all my work, all the books I've written, all the talks I do, this podcast, all the broadcasts for sure, is really about that. Because all the rest of it's shit, basically, that we just go over and over again. I mentioned earlier about all the stuff that's on the, quote, Google headline list. While those things are challenging, difficult, and horrible at times, and all the rest of it, did you ever notice it's always been going on? I mean, right? So how do you stop reacting and begin responding? Because that's the difference. Reaction is like you go to the doctor and you put your knee there and they whack you with that little hammer and your knee goes up and it's involuntary reaction. Bang. Somebody says Trump, you respond. Bang. Somebody says Obama. Bang. You respond. Somebody says black, you respond. Bang. Somebody says white. Bang. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. It's like Pavlov's dogs, right? So he would ring a bell and then he'd feed the dog. He'd ring a bell, he'd feed the dog, he'd ring a bell, he'd feed the dog, he'd ring a bell, he didn't feed the dog, and the dog was drooling. And Pavlov's like, this is brilliant. I ring bell, dog drool. I don't know if he sounded like that, but that's what I'm going to do. I ring bell, dog drool. Tell me how we're any different than a Pavlov's dog. We don't just drool on each other, we spit on each other, we vomit on each other, we throw up on each other. We assault each other. If you ever watched Facebook like a television show and you see people arguing who don't know each other from opposite ends of the country over something they could do nothing about, things they probably would never say to each other in person to be a fistfight, behind the firewall of unsocial media. And you're going to tell me this: we're the greatest creatures ever walked the planet? I don't think so. We have work to do. And that's what this show's about as well. So I'm going to revert back to 1968 and tell you about how to, in my opinion, observation, and experience. You'll hear me say that a lot on this show. My observation, my experience, my opinion, that's all I got going here. You don't have to agree with anything I say. I can't do anything about it. You may not agree with my observations, but my experiences are my own. And it's what I base my stuff on, my shit on sometimes. And it doesn't always come out the way I think it should. That's a whole nother show as well. We'll get to that at some point, but it's what we got. And if we're going to make any change, it begins inside. When you go within, you'll never go without, but most people stay outside so long, they don't know what's going on inside. 1968, I was 10, and the limits of my consciousness at the age of 10, of course, were basically baseball. It wasn't even girls yet. You know, baseball, food, sleep, baseball, food, sleep, whatever. Pretty limited boundaries of consciousness. I remember rooting for the Chicago Cubs back then to go to the World Series. That didn't happen until 2016. A little delayed gratification there. That was really the limits of my consciousness. I thought life was great. I mean, my parents were great. I had a great home. I had great friends. I played baseball all day. When the Cubs played, I'd go down to this place called The Corner, which I wrote about in the second book, Every Moment Matters, and I'd wait for the Cubs to get there, and hopefully they'd sign an autograph. I still have some of those. It was great. Life was great. Because I was 10, because the limits of my consciousness stopped basically at the corner or at the playground. That was it. However, if you're 5 or 10 years older than me, you know, 1968 wasn't that great. The Tet Offensive had begun in Vietnam. My cousin, the Sarge, was over there. He's like a brother to me. He's 10 years older than me. The only reason or place I could put him on in Vietnam is I had a big map on my wall in my room. And he would send me letters and postcards and like that. And I would try to track where the card came from. It was very difficult to do because that's the way it was back then. But the Tet Offensive was underway and my cousin was in Vietnam. And I had some inkling that he wasn't with us and that he was over there somewhere. I didn't know what that was all about. And in April of 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And the streets filled with hate. And fire, and death, and destruction. And then just a couple months later, Robert Kennedy was assassinated in Los Angeles, and the streets filled with hate, and fire, and death. And then just a few months later, in Chicago, was the 1968 Democratic Convention. Ditto, 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 ditto. But see, the difference was, is my consciousness, those things were not past the firewall of my consciousness. I did not, they were in the perimeter, so they didn't affect me. But sure enough, the world was on fire. It's like Billy Joel wrote that we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world was turning. That's true. And so getting perspective on ourselves is the only way, in my opinion, observation, experience, to restore a little bit of illumination to the concept of being alive. Just a little bit of balance, a little bit of sense of self, not feeling untethered all the time, but the world's coming to an end. Listen, the world comes to an end for 134,500 people every single day. They were here yesterday. They're not here today. So the world ends all the time. It's always done that. It always will be. Since the beginning of time, they think there's been about 70 billion humans that have lived and died. And now we have 7 billion on the planet. So just a fraction of that, which means we're on an assembly line. We're on a conveyor belt. We're coming and going. And so all these things that pull away from the concept of being alive to me are a detriment. Next thing you know, time's up. Everything has a shelf life. Everything has a shelf life. And so if I look at what was going on in 1968, go pick a year. You don't believe 68? You don't like that year? Go pick a year. We're more divided now than ever. No. Just looks that way. Go pick a year. And what happens is we run everything through our scopes, our telescopes and our microscopes. And depending on how we turn those things and put things under the scope depends so much on how we see the world and our experience of the world. Going back to that rudder and being 10 and all that stuff, it's our job to change all that. And the thing about it is with unsocial media, unfortunately, or fortunately, because now you know, everything's under a microscope. We know stuff we don't need to know, and we're going to argue over it. Should Meghan Markle's father show up? I don't care. How's that my business? But it becomes our business because it's part of big business. And we get people talking about stuff that's none of their business. We'll make money. And all along the clock is ticking. And we're running out of time. I have this image in my mind of people who were here yesterday and maybe unfortunately left the planet overnight. How you die, in my opinion, experience and observation, is not nearly as important as how you lived. We're all going to die. Every human, you all know this already. There's nothing new here. But we forget that because we're not in the obits today. And every time a celebrity or well-known person of name and note passes, oh my God, I can't believe it. Well, yeah, people die. But not everybody lives. And I think that's the message underneath that. When we see someone who has really lived, we can't believe they're not going to be here anymore. I think we're missing the point. Really live until you really die. What a great idea. So in all of this, this rant, rave, observations, whatever you want to call it, I'm getting to where the experts, I don't know who they are, but I get emails from all the time, podcast experts tell me that the sweet spot for a podcast is between 30 and 45 minutes. So I'm at 35 minutes now. I'm going to start winding this down until next week because this is how it's going to be. The energy that has come up underneath me, I got to tell you, is formidable. I'm remembering things and thinking about things that I can pass along to you that if you can grasp onto them, maybe your life gets a little better. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's all I can offer. And my salvation, quite frankly, is found in doing what I'm doing right now. Many, many years ago, I took a very long walk from Upper Michigan to Chicago and back. I was in dire straits, not the band. That would have been really cool. But I was in dire straits, and my family and I were living in a small motel in Upper Michigan in 1996. And I kept having this recurring dream of walking, and I did it with a couple other guys on the way down. And on the way back, I walked alone. And outside of a little town of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, I saw myself in my mind's eye now standing in the actual thing that I had dreamt of, the same place. It was beyond my comprehension. Talk about expanding consciousness. We don't even put ketchup on our hot dogs here. So you're asking me how is it possible I could dream about something and then experience it? Kind of pushed me to my limits and beyond. But it was on that walk and in that moment that this voice, as clear as anything that's ever been in my life, said, John, go on the radio. Just like that. There might have been a little, you know, hey, Johnny, how you doing? Go on the radio? No, it wasn't like that. It's just a clear voice. Hey, John, go on the radio. Absurd. No training, no experience, living in a motel. No way. Guess what? Way. The more you just show up, you'd be amazed at things that happen. So not everybody needs to write books and get on the radio and do talks. I get that. But we all have a place in the human family. Understand that. And when you understand that, you start to see everybody that we're all part of this whole deal here. And the least effective way of describing who you are is politically. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm an independent. I'm a libertarian. Really? Really? That's it. And all the cemeteries I've walked in my life, including where my parents and grandparents are buried and where friends are buried, I've never once seen Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, Green Party, Red Party, Black Party, Yellow Party, White, nothing on a headstone. Never, ever. 40 years of this. Whenever I go out and do talks, I ask people, have you ever been to a wake? They all raise their hand. You ever been to a wake to someone who's been younger than you? And a lot of people raise their hands. Have you ever been to a wake of someone older than you? A lot of people raise their hands. I said, have you ever heard any eulogy at the wake? You ever have people who talk about the deceased? And they all raise their hands. I said, now, you ever been to a wake and heard a eulogy about how somebody voted or what they thought about a certain president or a bill that passed or a tax cut? No hands. And then we moved to the grounds. So if you've never seen it at a wake, am I correct in assuming that you've been at a cemetery and you've seen that on a headstone? No hands. And what you see on headstones, father, mother, sister, brother, grandfather, grandmother, auntie, uncle, friend, veteran. And so as I get ready to kind of wrap this first one up, I wanted to, you know, really be clear on this. Last October, I went up to Ontario. I did a TED Talk up there. This is the second TED Talk that I've done. The first one was in 2009 for NASA. It was pretty cool. And I had 7 minutes to kind of explain my concept that, you know, the most incredible invention isn't refrigeration or even jet propulsion. Those are very cool. But to me, it's the ability for humans to take thought, put it into action, that we could have a thought that we've never had before and our lives can change. That's, to me, the greatest thing humans have ever come up with. It doesn't mean it's all good. It just means that we have this incredible tool. That was in 2009. So last year, I've had this talk in my head for 5 years called Human Math. And I didn't even do well in math. I used to sit at the table at night trying to do my homework, and it was like, you know, pulling teeth. I remember having to learn my multiplication tables. 1 times 1, 2 times 2. It was in a grid. And when you get to 12 times 12, it was 144. It's buried into our subconscious somewhere. No matter where I go in the world to talk or what audience I'm in front of, unless they don't speak English and I use a translator, I'll say, what is 12 times 12? And everybody spits out 144 because it's the answer. But that's just linear math. That's just what we learned in school. Life is not like that. There's nothing linear about life. When I did this TED Talk, I had a diagram of what linear looks like. It's a straight line, and you know, this is you're born here, and then you have kids here, and then you buy a house here, and then everything goes straight, and then you die here. Life's not like that. Nobody listening to this show has had a linear life. It's all over the map. That's how life is. And so I started to figure out human math, far more applicable and far more unpredictable than linear math. And that's what I talked about. And I went down the list of people who've made a huge difference in the world and how much time they were given as opposed to the life expectancy we all say we're going to have. You know, if you're born now, or if you, the life expectancy basically in the United States now is 77.5, 78 years, somewhere in there. And, you know, that's just like 28,000 plus days. That's not very long. So when you start looking at that way, all of a sudden 70 some odd years doesn't sound like a big deal. But then you start doing the math. And so let's say like you're 47 and you got 28,324 days to go and you've already racked up 17,155 days. That means you only got 11,169 days to go. If you're past that, then you got a bonus. I don't know why some people live longer. I don't know why they die younger. Neither do you. Maybe someday we'll find out. Maybe we won't. But this goes back to how I started this little rant, where everything has a shelf life, including you and I. And so the human math concept went right down the list of people, some I knew, some I did not, and how long they had on the planet to do their job and what they spent time in. And I highly doubt the last days of their lives that they sat and argued over a tax cut. Maybe they did, but I can't imagine that was the best use of their time. So the bottom line in all this is that maybe we need to turn things around and look where we started from. There's been 70 billion humans on this planet. There's 7 billion left. You're still alive to hear this. You won the lottery. It's all how you look at it. The biggest aha in all this, and how I know you won the lottery, and I have too, is the odds of being born are 1 in 400 trillion, with a T. Not a B, not an M, trillion. Not billion, not million, but trillion. The odds of being born are 1 in 400 trillion. That's a lot of zeros. And I'm not going to get into all the nuances of, you know, even your parents meeting and how to forget all that. The odds of winning the lottery are far less than that. So you've already scored. The only question left is, what are you going to do with your winnings? What do you do with your earnings? That's really what Life Matters is all about. So going forward, you'll be hearing some interviews at some point of those with name and note and conversations I like to have with people that are doing incredible things in the world, all to bolster the fact that we're not a cosmic mistake or burp and that we have work to do while we're here and we shouldn't just be majoring in minor things. So remember, if your takeaways today are nothing more than everything has a shelf life and you've never seen Democrat, Republican, Independent, or other on a headstone, then maybe some of what I said makes some sense. Thanks so much for listening.